welcome to tonight's CCL training. It's a Citizens Climate University, a weekly webinar program of CCLs that provides support for volunteers like you and I to access in-depth trainings on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is going to be preparing you for interviews with the media. So join CCL Communications Director Flannery Winchester for a training that builds volunteers' interview skills, particularly for radio and television, and learn how to prepare for and respond to interview questions, keep that interview on track, and get your message across to the media, whoever you might be talking to. And with that, let me introduce Flannery. Our wonderful communications director, Flannery Winchester, trains and supports volunteers to publish written pieces in local media, appear on TV and radio, why she's here tonight, and she also pitches national media, manages and edits the CCL blog, and keeps our volunteers informed and inspired through social media and regular newsletters. And if we've done our jobs well, we're going to focus on these three key areas. You will be able to understand basic pre-interview preparations, you have a chance to really think through what to say and how to say it, and you'll also be able to focus on staying on message as well as being effective in that message that you're sharing. So to get us there, Flannery is going to have a five-fold focus. We're going to do pre-interview prep, and she's going to talk about developing those talking points and making them personal for you. She's going to highlight a new resource that CCL is debuting tonight on this call. It's CCL's recommended talking points for interviews. And then we're going to discuss the art of pivoting and some additional presentation tips. And at this point, I will pass it to you, Flannery, and we are so grateful for you joining us tonight.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brett. And thank you, everybody, for joining. So as Brett said, we're going to talk about how to give an effective interview about your CCL work and about the work that we're all doing on climate change. So before we even get to the interview, I just want to sort of set the stage here. You have to have an interview set up. So that means that your local media, whether it's your city's major newspaper or a local TV station or a local radio station, they have to know about the story that you want to tell, and they have to be interested in covering it. You or another volunteer in your chapter can send out a press release to local media contacts to sort of pitch the story and hopefully set up an interview. So we have a whole separate training called Generating News Coverage or Generating Media Coverage that explains how to develop your local media list, how to build those relationships, how to send out press releases, and just generally get media attention on your story. So for tonight, let's imagine that you or someone else in your chapter has already done all of that, and a reporter has taken interest in your story. So they want to interview you later this week, let's say, and you've got a time set up to talk with them. So now what? So before you get to the interview, you want to ask a few questions. And don't be shy checking with your contact at the media outlet about clarifying these things before you get in the interview. So first, you want to understand what type of media you're doing this interview for. So if you're the one who set up the interview, then you'll know if it's a newspaper or a magazine, which would mean that the final story will be written down. And if that's the case, then you don't need to worry about issues like wardrobe or your background or your sound quality. But if it's TV or radio, and the final story is going to be seen or heard, then you'll want to take into account what you wear, where you conduct the interview, and other elements that will come across and be seen or heard. So we'll touch more on that later. But definitely know what you're going into in terms of the format of the interview. You'll also want to know ahead of time if the interview will be broadcast live or if it's going to be recorded and edited and then broadcast afterward, because this is going to affect how you actually prepare for the interview. And you also want to understand how much time you have set aside for the interview. Confirm the topic that you'll be covering. Definitely confirm the agreed upon location or how you will connect with the reporter. Sometimes it's very easy to make assumptions. and so you just want to be very clear about if you're, you know, where you're meeting in person, if you're meant to go into a studio, get all of those details, or if you're going to be connecting on a video conference or a phone call, or just make sure you have all those dial-in details and everything ahead of time. Get all of that settled so that you're not scrambling around a few minutes before you're meant to have the interview. And then last, you also want to make sure that you know who you're talking with. So who's going to be interviewing you? And if possible, see if you can find out what's their relationship to the topic. So how much do they already know about climate change? Are they friendly to that idea? Are they, you know, maybe hostile? I would expect that in local media, you're probably going to find mostly friendly interview situations, but you never know. And it's good to understand the tone of the interview that you can expect from the interviewer. So all of that will help you be get ready to be as successful as possible in the interview. So once you've got all that figured out, you want to prepare your message so you know what to say. This is the biggest question that I get when volunteers have a media opportunity in their local market. They will email me and say, okay, I'm going to be on our NPR station. What should I say? So hopefully this will help help you through that process. So you've probably heard the phrase talking points before. These are just short, clear messages that you want to get across in an interview. And if your interview is a broadcast interview, such as for TV or radio, then you probably want to decide on just one or two main messages that you want to get across. The amount of time, the sound bites that they pull are so, so small. They can be as short as 10 seconds or up to 3 to 4 minutes, but still, compared to how long you might stand and chat with someone at an event, for example, or you know, in other settings, it's a really compressed amount of time to get your message across. So you wanna think about the messages, but then limit them if you are in a live interview setting. And you can ask yourself as sort of a helpful tool, sort of a rule of thumb, ask yourself, if somebody only remembers one thing from seeing my interview, what is the one thing I want them to remember? And that can help you make sure you've hit the right main message for your interview. And then also just remember that the reporter that you're talking to really may not be very familiar with Citizens Climate Lobby or you or what you're working on. They may not even be that familiar with how climate change is impacting your area. So, you know, they've probably just read a press release, or they've maybe had one or two initial conversations with you or someone in your chapter. And then their readers and their viewers or their listeners may be even less familiar than that. So it's really important that you choose a few of those short, clear messages that will help get people up to speed. So the main message, what makes a good main message? So we have some advice here from Dr. Catherine Hayhoe. If you've been around CCL for a while, you will have heard her name. She is she's a atmospheric scientist and a wonderful climate communicator. She's also on CCL's board. And so she has offered us in a past sort of Q&A about this topic, some guidance on how to choose a good main message. And she has said that a good main message is high level. You can convey it in one sentence that is also simple. Your main message should not include really long words, complicated explanations, no jargon ideally. You want it to be simple. And then she also says a good main message is sticky. So it sticks in people's heads. When people have heard it, they will remember it. So those are things to keep in mind about as you sort of work to craft your messages going into an interview. And then beyond those main messages, you will need some supporting points, supporting messages that you can use to expand if the reporter asks you a follow-up question about something that you've mentioned. So this is another person with a lot of media expertise. His name is Aaron Huertas. He's given us a training in the past about interview techniques and things, and he offered this this method that he calls the and but therefore method. So when you start with your main message, so let's say our main message is we want Congress to pass big national climate legislation, then you can use the and to say, to add another piece of information. So in this case, in our example, and our community supports that action. And then you can introduce kind of some tension or some interest by using but. And so you can say, but Congress hasn't acted yet. And then you can give them the takeaway by using therefore or so. So in our example, but Congress hasn't acted yet, so we're going to Washington, D.C. to meet with them in person. So that is a way to think about how do you get from your top level message, your main message, to some supporting points that still feel kind of natural and are engaging for the reporter and for the viewer or the reader. So the best way to really understand this is to practice it a little bit. So I'm just going to walk you through some examples. I hate to use the word bad. Well, maybe we should say ineffective, better and best, but it's then we lose the alliteration. But I'll talk you through some versions of responses you can give to a really basic question that that you might get in an interview. So let's say that a reporter, it's the first time they've talked to you, they don't know very much about your chapter, and they just want to do a piece about this local climate group. And so the first question they ask you is, so what is Citizens Climate Lobby? Tell me about Citizens Climate Lobby, something just sort of open-ended like that. So if you don't have a talking point in your back pocket, then you might find yourself saying something like, well, we lobby Congress for HR 763, which is a carbon pricing policy. Well, specifically, it's a carbon fee and dividend style policy that basically prices the externalities, or I guess the costs, of burning fossil fuels, and it allocates all that revenue back to Americans each month. So it reduces CO2 emissions. Right? So that's, and you've probably, again, if you've been around CCL for a while, you've probably heard something like that at a chapter meeting, or when somebody new comes in or stops by your table and wants to know, well, what are you guys all about? It's very easy to kind of get into the weeds like that, into the details. And so when we think about why this answer doesn't work well, partially it's because there's a lot of jargon and there's big words. So we've got the bill number, which doesn't mean anything to a regular person. Like they're not tracking the bills, the numbers of the bills in this particular, session of Congress. And so that's not, meaningful to convey. The word externalities is going to just fly right over the heads of most people, unless they're really studying this stuff. Even CO2 emissions, rather than just saying, greenhouse gas emissions or, carbon pollution, the word pollution is much more accessible. So there's a lot kind of challenging to get across. And then it also hasn't actually told us much about Citizens Climate Lobby. It's sort of skipped right over the answer of what is Citizens Climate Lobby, and it's gone right to the bill that we support, which of course we're very excited about and we're, putting a lot of energy towards supporting. But that's not all we are. We want to sort of answer this question with what is CCL? So a better answer might sound something like, well, we lobby Congress for climate change legislation, in particular, a bill called the Energy Innovation Act. And we've had a lot of success so far. There's 80 co-sponsors on the bill. And we have volunteers all over the country and we're nonpartisan. And I just love CCL because I've been able to get so involved in something that I'm passionate about. So we're getting a little closer here, and you can see that this answer has improved a little bit because it's more about CCL. It kind of brings in some personal perspective, this person saying that, you know, they're passionate about climate issues and this is where they can be active. And so that's getting better. But it's still a little bit scattered and a little bit unfocused, and it doesn't give a full picture of CCL. What I will say as the best answer, of course, there's a whole range of what you can say, but this is an answer that you could give if you are prepped with talking points and you've got them right on the tip of your tongue. You could say something like, you know, the reporter asks, what is Citizens Climate Lobby? And you can be ready to answer with, Citizens Climate Lobby is a grassroots nonprofit organization working on climate change. We have more than 190,000 supporters nationwide, organized into local chapters, including our chapter here in Atlanta. We push Congress to pass big national climate legislation. So that one, if you've practiced the talking points and you've got those phrases in your mind, that is a really simple, really clear, to the point answer that gets across who CCL really is. It also, you know, makes it clear that we're not just a little, a little ragtag shop of, you know, band of misfits. Like, there's a whole bunch of us out there who are working on climate legislation, and it shows that we have some heft, that we are a nationwide organization. We have a big goal. We are working specifically with the U.S. Congress. And so it gets across the scale of our work in a clear, simple way. So that is I think demonstrates the value of talking points, right? It's very easy to get distracted by all the things that we know and not have it boiled down to just the things that other people need to hear. And so practicing talking points and having them in your head can be really valuable. So the good news, you do not have to create all your talking points from scratch. when you are going into an interview, we have this new resource for you. So we've already thought through some of those simple, clear, effective messages that you can put out there. And we've created this resource of general talking points that you can use. So Brett's shown here, and I think just dropped in the chat, the link to where you can find this resource on Community. Jump into the document there, you'll see that this is how it looks. So there's sort of a bold top line message. There's a little bit of an expansion. And so the points sound like this. Citizens Climate Lobby is a grassroots nonprofit organization working on climate change. Very clear, very simple. We haven't overloaded our media contact or their audience with too much information at once. We've just given them the most basic, most sort of key elements of who we are. And then you can expand a little bit. So we push Congress to take action on climate change. You can specifically say CCL chapters across the country are asking Congress to pass big national climate legislation. So again, we're not using the bill number, we're not getting into the intricacies of exactly the structure of carbon pricing and fee and dividend and all of that, not yet. We're giving that really clear, high-level, simple message first. And then if the reporter asks follow-up questions about the legislation, or if that's the focus of the interview, then we do have a fact sheet on the Energy Innovation Act that has bill-specific talking points. So those are available. But you definitely want to start with this clear, high-level, simple message at first. And then another good talking point to use about CCL is that we're nonpartisan. So that's really helpful, especially in today's political atmosphere that's really surprising to a lot of people and interesting for them to hear and important for them to hear. So you could say, have this talking point in your pocket here. Climate change affects everyone, and we work with anyone who's serious about solving it. So that includes Republicans and Democrats. And that's a simple, clear way to convey our nonpartisan, the nonpartisan element of our work. And just a side note that you want to have these essentially memorized so that you can just spit them out anytime you need them. You may mix and match them, but these basic phrases should pretty much be, you should have them on the tip of your tongue. So then some other points that are good to have are volunteers like us are working all over the country. So Citizens Climate Lobby, and this one we use in our example, Citizens Climate Lobby has more than 190,000 supporters nationwide, organized into more than 450 local chapters, including our chapter in, and then you insert your city. And then there are a few talking points that we've included in the resource that are just guidelines, because you can really put the personal touch on them. So I'm part of Citizens Climate Lobby because you can sort of think of that as a category of talking point. So you might say, I started volunteering with CCL in 2015 and I'm working on climate change because, and then you want to figure out what is your personal reason for working on climate change, but convey that at, again, a high level and as simple as you can. So you might say something like, because I want my kids to enjoy the same beautiful beaches that I did. So think through your sort of your story, why you are involved in this, and then boil it down to just one sort of straightforward phrase. And then you want to also do the same thing with your activities. So as part of Citizens Climate Lobby, I've worked on, you know, explain what you primarily do. So you might say, I've given climate change presentations at local schools, or I've met with Representative Smith in Washington, D.C., like something very simple. Same thing with the chapter activity. So you can say our local chapter meets with Representative Smith and Senators X and Y to encourage them to take action on climate change. Or our local chapter also reaches out to friends and neighbors in our community to educate them about climate change and the actions Congress can take to help. So you'll see kind of the theme here is we are staying really high level about the idea that this is a problem. We want to see action. This is important to our community. So we're not getting bogged down in the details of exactly what we're working on and or exactly the ins and outs of the legislation until you've given these high level messages first. And then the thing to remember too, when you're doing an interview in your local media market, really one of the most helpful and unique things that you have to offer is your own experience and your own local knowledge. So bring that forward in an interview, and definitely be sure to sort of flesh out your versions of these talking points so that you're ready to show what you have done and what your local chapter has done. So then our talking points resource also has some general talking points about climate change itself. Because again, depending on where you are in the country, you may or may not have an audience that is particularly dialed into this issue. And so you want to be able to address that if it comes up, or if you need to sort of set the context in an interview. And so, and again, here, even if you obviously, you know a lot about climate change, you're working on it, you're concerned about it, it really can be tough to sort of spit that out in a quick, clear way. So again, you can memorize these and just have them on the tip of your tongue. And so one really helpful one is, you may have heard the sort of messaging shorthand that climate change is real, it's us, it's serious, and there's hope, or there's solutions. So you can kind of use that as a guide. A particularly fruitful place for us to start is on that third point, which is that climate change is serious, and you can talk about the local impact. So I might say, here in Atlanta, it's already impacting us. We have more days of extreme heat, which is dangerous for people's health. If you're in the Midwest, you might want to say precipitation patterns have changed, causing more droughts and more flooding. This is really hard on our farmers and our ranchers, and, you know, whatever particular examples you want to give. If you're in a coastal area, you might say sea levels are rising, causing floods even on sunny days. This is hurting local business and tourism. So you see, again, still keeping it very high level, but specific to your local area so that both the reporter that you're talking to and the audience that hears the story very quickly understands, oh yeah, that is something that's happening right here at home. Keeps it relevant for them. And so then another message that's key to get across is there are solutions to it. So you might say Congress can pass big national climate legislation to help address the problem. And then this is where you could start to get into the details a little bit more once you've delivered that high level message of we can do something, there are solutions. Then you can follow up with information like a carbon fee and dividend bill like the Energy Innovation Act could reduce America's greenhouse gas emissions by 40% in 12 years while putting money in people's pockets each month. So we're starting to get in the details, but we're still keeping the language pretty simple and not overloading with too much information at once. And then if you really need to back it up, you have some basic talking points like climate change is real. Scientists agree that climate change is happening. It's driven by increased greenhouse gases, which come from burning fossil fuels like coal and oil. And climate change is caused by humans. Scientists tell us those increased greenhouse gases come from human activity, from fueling our transportation, powering buildings and homes, creating products, and providing services that we use every day. So if you need to set the context in an interview, or if you get a clarifying question where someone just says, well, wait, how do we even know about all this? Or, you know, something like that. You can have those sort of in your back pocket so that you can quickly give them something factual, but still simple, and then continue the interview. So those are just sort of the general ones that we have for you to get started, but you will likely need to develop some of your own talking points. Because those won't cover every interview situation that you find yourself in. So, like, for example, a reporter might want to interview you about a local event that you're planning. And so if that's the case, you'll need to develop your own points that you can use to prepare for that interview. So just remember those tips from Dr. Hayhoe, high level, simple, sticky, that rule of thumb, which is what's the main thing that you want people to remember. And then you can use Aaron's little method of and, but, and so to sort of flesh out your supporting points and make sure that you're ready to have the conversation of the interview and be prepared for anything that comes up. All that's well and good in theory, but you have to, once you have all that in your mind, then you have to actually get that message across, right? So you've practiced, you've got it, you know, you feel confident in your talking points. You might have a little cheat sheet in front of you if it's a radio interview, but you still have to be able to deliver on that. So that's where pivoting comes into play. The art of pivoting, as Brett said. So a reporter may not always prompt you for exactly what you want to say. So you might have come in there to talk about climate or talk about lobbying in DC. And they might ask you something like, well, so I know your group works on climate change, but do you guys have an opinion on the local plastic bag ban that just passed? They might just toss you something out of left field like that. They think environment is environment, you know, weigh in, give us an opinion. Or they might frame a question in a negative or a challenging way. They might say something like, well, some people don't believe climate change will affect us here. So what do you say to those people? So anytime that you get really any question, the thing to do is to, you want to hear the question, you want to acknowledge what they asked. You don't want to just totally dodge it or ignore it. But pivot over to your talking points. So your job in the interview is to get across what you want to say. You do want to answer their questions, but your primary job is to get your message across. And so find a thread between what they asked you and what your message is, and follow that thread back to get to your talking points. So what that looks like in practice is if someone asks you gives you a question like in our first example, say, I know you guys work on climate change, but what do you think about this plastic bag ban? Then one thread that you might identify and then follow back to your talking points is that there's a shared concern over environmental issues, right? So there is a little bit of overlap in, okay, well, the people who passed the ban, the people who are advocating for the ban care about our environment. I am focused on climate change. Like there's some similarity there. So using that thread, you could give an answer that says, you could say something like, well, that policy shows me that our community cares deeply about protecting our environment and our natural resources. As a volunteer with Citizens Climate Lobby, I've seen that in my work on climate change. I hope our members of Congress will take action to respond to our community's concerns about climate and the environment. So you've made your way back from their sort of random question. You've made your way back to your main message, which is our community cares about this and we want Congress to do something. So that's one way you could follow it back. You could also pull on sort of a different thread, which might be that the idea of government action. So even though plastic bag ban obviously is not our, that's not exactly in our lane, the question mentions government, local government taking some sort of step forward. And we're trying to get the national government to take a step forward. So that's kind of a connection you could pull on. And so you could give an answer like, well, I'm very encouraged to see our local government taking steps to protect our environment. As a volunteer with Citizens Climate Lobby, I'm trying to get the US Congress to take steps on climate and the environment too. I hope our members of Congress will understand that our community is concerned about these issues and wants action at the national level. So again, you've made your way back to what you really want to say, which is we care about this and we want Congress to act. And then if you get a question on that maybe is on topic, but maybe it's negative or it's, you know, the tone is weird or just anything that feels a little off, again, just focus on the thread that can get you back to your talking points. So if someone sort of doubtfully asks you, well, people don't really believe that climate change is a problem around here. So how is it possible to do your work in this community or something, you know, something negative or doubtful like that. Don't be distracted by that, the idea of climate deniers or those negative assumptions or anything like that. Instead, just follow that. They've given you a thread of local climate impacts. Right? So they've mentioned the local opinions and local impacts. And so you can say, well, climate change is already affecting us here in your city. We're seeing more days of extreme heat, which is dangerous for people's health. That will continue to get worse if we don't take action. So you really have just used the question as a springboard over to what you want to say. So that's something that takes some practice. But if you have your talking points really well in hand, then it will be pretty easy to see the connection between the question and how you get back to your talking points. So some advice on what not to say in an interview situation. These come from Dr. Hayhoe again. Don't repeat back something that's incorrect. So she says that she said 99 times out of 100, I think she said, someone who is not used to being interviewed will do this. Let's say a reporter asks you, is there a debate over climate change? Do scientists agree on climate change? Aren't there some scientists who aren't in the consensus? You don't want to repeat that incorrect information back to them and say, oh yeah, some people think that the science isn't settled. You don't want to say that. It's a natural reaction, but what you want to do instead is be very clear and say something like, no, the scientific community agrees that climate change is happening and is caused by human activity. So just say the thing that you know is accurate, rather than, yeah, repeating back their incorrect information. And this is where interviewing is very different from like tabling or something like that. Because if you were having a one-on-one private conversation, you would want to acknowledge where that person is coming from. You would want to say, yeah, I've heard that too. People are, you know, some people think that there's confusion and that, you know, you want to kind of meet them where they are. But in an interview setting, you don't want to do that at all. Yeah, a couple more don'ts from Dr. Hayhoe. So she says, don't give long, complicated, qualified answers. So if they ask you a straight question, give a straight answer. Because you can always go on to add more detail. If you start with a direct response, then it helps you, I mean, you come across better because you don't give the impression of being uncertain. So if they said something like, are humans causing climate change? You want to very clearly say, yes, we are. And then you can go on to give more details. But if they asked you, are humans causing climate change? And then you said, well, so you have to understand that we burn a lot of fossil fuels in all these different ways, and then there's these different impacts, and that, you know, then it comes across unclear. So if you get a direct question, give a really direct answer. And then the last, what not to do, what not to say, is definitely don't argue with the reporter. Don't raise your voice, and also don't talk badly about anyone else. This, you know, in particular in CCL, this is part of our core values, is respect and appreciation. And so that's something that we expect from CCL volunteers in general. But this is particularly crucial in a media setting, because if you give them one, you know, snarky sentence or one kind of sassy side comment, it's very likely that that will be the one thing that they pick up on, because they're drawn to, you know, areas of tension and conflict and interest, and so they're gonna pull out that juicy quote if you give it to them. So definitely don't go in the contentious direction. And then a few other tips for, especially for live interviews, when you've gotten your main message across, it's okay to stop talking. So sometimes we feel like it's our job to fill the silence or keep the conversation going. But actually, when you're in a live interview situation, that is the reporter or the journalist's job to do. It's their job to make sure that there's not dead air. So if you've said what you want to say, you can just close your mouth. And then when you do that, they will ask you another question and the interview will just keep going from there. So don't feel pressure to keep expanding beyond what you've said if you've gotten your point across. And then Aaron's last point here is, if possible, at the end of a live interview, when you can feel it kind of winding down, try to squeeze in a closer. Revisit your main message one last time, or leave people with a little something. So we actually have a great example of that from CCL's executive director, Mark Reynolds. He was on Fox News after the Energy Innovation Act was introduced. It was, I think, the next month, so it was pretty new and getting some national media attention. And he was on this Fox show, and he squeezed in a great closer.
Public appetite for it. But Mark, thank you for talking with us today, and happy
post. Yeah, thank you for having me on. And let me just say to the people who are watching, there is one of our chapters in every community out there, from Boise, Idaho to Birmingham, Alabama. If you want to work with people on solutions, we have a big tent, and we would love to see you in your neighborhood.
Okay. Big tent.
The interview ended on this fantastic note where he had really summed everything up nicely, just left people with something punchy. So that's a great example of that. And so you can try to do that if you're in a live setting. And then the last thing here, these tips come from Kathy Orlando, who's our international outreach manager, and she's gone through media training from Climate Reality. And so she had some very practical tips to share. If you are in an interview that is filmed or recorded, so on video, you want to think about not slouching, not kind of swaying back and forth, all those sort of fidgety things that you might do, that you might not think about, but when you're on camera, they'll become obvious. So keep an eye on those sorts of things. In terms of wardrobe, you want to choose clothing in a solid color. Avoid shiny or patterned fabrics. It'll just come across better. And then if you're recording something for radio, you want to make sure you take the call in a place with no background noise and avoid fidgety sounds like clicking pens or messing with your papers, things like that that might come through. And then any format of interview, you want to speak slowly and smile so that it comes across clearly and cheerfully. And so this really is a new area that we're starting to push into and to offer volunteers support in so that we can work a little more in the news side of things too. So so I appreciate you all being here. You can share this guidance with your other chapter members, and once you and that will happen naturally if you're practicing your talking points, right? You need to practice with somebody. And so you can grab another chapter member and then they could start to build these skills too.
Thank you all so much for joining us. We know that you have a lot of competing interests, but I think this is a really unique opportunity to reach out and be effective with our media. And we are so thankful for you, Flannery, and really giving such a cogent and succinct, focused presentation to help us all really take our media interviews to the next level. We look forward to continuing to work together on this front, and we look forward to hearing the success that you're going to have as well with your ongoing media interview. All right.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.